Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace. As we continue to seek you, as we continue to search for you, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. Your still small voice would resonate in our hearts and minds. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. Could you turn me down in the monitor, Charles? Thank you. Well, Mary Jo will help you. A couple of weeks ago, I received an email from someone who had a great question. A great question about the prayer of Jabez. The question went like this. I've been wondering about the prayer of Jabez. In the printed version, he asks, enlarge my territory or boundaries. I'm wondering what he meant by that little part. I hope many of you are wondering the same thing, because as we look at or even memorize scripture, questions do come to our mind, and it causes us to ask these questions. The email goes on to say this. Did he mean he wanted to own more land? Or did he mean that he wanted to enlarge his influence on other people, maybe win more people to the faith? Now, I'd be a little remiss if I didn't tell you, but I really didn't want to give too much of my answer away, as I knew I'd be speaking on it in a couple of weeks. So I simply responded, wait until January 24th, and then I'll explain it then. No, my response was this, great questions. Various translations will use similar words, territory versus boundary, and knowing the context of the times will point most specifically toward the increase of land, which means an increase in the amount of herds and crops one could have or produce. Land was a real symbol, status symbol of the day. Having said this, because of his desire to serve God, Jabez, this would allow Jabez to help more people in his region because he had more resources, and this was done definitely to please God. Hey, I think that clears everything up, and now we can call it a wrap for today. Well, maybe give me a few more minutes. It is true that land was really important for one to grow herds and to produce food in that day, and the more land one had, the more wealth, the more power and influence one could have over others. But having land meant you needed more people to work, to watch the crops, or to watch the flocks and to work the land. And the more people meant more responsibility for the landowner to provide and to protect. But is this really all Jabez was asking for, was more land? To be powerful, to be wealthy? Lord, expand my physical territory or boundaries? No, we see a clue to this in Jabez's genealogical record dating back to a long-lost descendant named Abraham. In today's scripture, we see God calling Abraham to go to a land that God would show him and give to him and his descendants. And in God's call to Abraham, God says this, read it with me. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Now, last week we spoke about asking God to bless you, and here we see God not only wanting to bless Abraham, but that God wanted Abraham to be a blessing to others. And it's important to know that God continues to desire that as God pours out his blessings in our lives, that we would all seek to be a blessing to other people around us, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our work associates, whomever we should run into. God wants us to be a blessing. And God continues the call and ends with this verse. Read it with me. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Can you imagine being a blessing to all the people on the earth? Can you imagine that? The weight, the responsibility. And in looking at these last two lines, God would create a great nation from Abraham, a nation that would be indeed a blessing to all people on the earth. How? Well, the short-term answer is that God would reveal himself through the Israelites, through this nation, to all the people around them. And people could join in with the Israelites and learn about God and come to worship God. The long-term answer is that through this nation, well, really specifically through Abraham's bloodline, Jesus the Messiah would come to be born. And Jesus would save all people from their disobedience to God by his death on a cross. However, this idea of asking for territory is one we wrestle with. In fact, it raises up this question, do you think it's okay? Do you think it's okay to ask God to expand your business, to expand your wealth, to expand your influence? Is it okay to ask God for what seems to be to us these worldly things? In a modern day story beginning about 100 years ago, we learn of a person who wanted more. But more was not just for himself. It was really to be a blessing to God and to others around him, which I think is the key in asking God to enlarge your territory. His name was Stanley Tam, and he was born just outside of San Francisco, California in 1915. When he was 9 years old, his family moved to a farm in Lima, Ohio, and it was in Lima that Stanley began his quest to succeed in business. Unbeknownst to him, Lima was also the mark or the beginning of his spiritual journey. He describes his parents as being religious, moral people who raised him in church. He says, "We didn't smoke, drink, or swear, but we were really not Christians." He said he never felt a true connection to God in his childhood. Tam graduated from high school in 1933, and over the next year, two key events happened that permanently altered his life. Tam credits both of these events as shaping his adult life and career. Tam became, after high school, a door-to-door salesman. He sold Stanley products and other household necessities. You remember the Fuller Brush Man? Knocking on doors and selling. And when he knocked on the door of a farmer's house, the wife one day invited him in. And after making a purchase, she asked Stanley if he would be willing to listen to her presentation. When Stanley agreed, she shared with him about her relationship with Jesus. And Stanley says he left that house under deep conviction. "I was convinced she had the kind of spiritual reality I wanted," he confessed. 6 weeks later, he decided to accept Jesus as his Savior, and he himself became a Christian. At first, he experienced doubt and frustration. But as he began to study the Bible, his doubts faded. This was the first important change in his life. Raised during the Great Depression, Stanley also saw his parents agonize over the financial famine that swept the nation. And this shaped him in a second way. He developed a deep desire to earn money, more than enough money to provide for himself and his family. And while searching for new business ideas, Stanley discovered the Eastman Kodak Company used approximately 20 tons of silver, 20 tons of silver each week to make a photographic film mixture. 80% of this silver was simply washed away in the process. Stanley found an inventor in Cleveland who had created a silver reclaiming device. And so he negotiated an agreement to build the devices and to operate them through photo studios in exchange for a royalty. In 1936, 3 years after graduating from high school, Stanley began his business with great expectations. Although he established contact with many photo labs, distribution of the machine became more expensive than the production. He decided to call it quits. Disappointed, Stanley packed his few belongings and headed home to Lima. Just outside of Columbus, God spoke to him. Stanley, it doesn't need to be a disappointment. You don't have to go broke. There just isn't enough going for me, Lord, Stanley argued. If I had capital, you shouldn't be concerned about lack of finances. All you need is faith in me. I do have faith, God. Enough to turn your business over to me, to let me run it for you. Take my business, Lord. And if you make it succeed, I'll honor you in every way I can. I promise. At the time of this pivotal conversation with God, Stanley only had $20 on him. He borrowed an additional $12 from his dad. So with $32 in his pocket and God as his partner, Stanley ventured out once again. For 3 years, he struggled, traveling to some 30 states to grow the business. But he persevered. He kept costs low and prepared for future expansion. Little by little, he saw his business expand. And in 1940, 4 years later, at 25 years old, he fulfilled his promise and made God the senior partner of his business. His lawyers helped him to form the Stanita. His name was Stanley, his wife Juanita, Stanita. Lawyers helped him form the Stanita Foundation. And get this, 51% of his company's stock was given to the foundation, and all the dividends were donated to Christian missions. You see, when Stanley Tam became a Christian, he meant it. As a young man struggling to make a go of business in the Depression, he allowed God to guide his actions, and slowly, ever so slowly, he found success. Although it was difficult for him at times, he began to even witness to his contacts about Jesus. And also following God's lead, he had his lawyer draw up legal papers to make the Lord his business partner. In 1955, at 40 years old, two more significant events occurred in his life. Stanley developed an electric silver collector that included a plastic container. Plastic products were not at that time widely distributed, and customers then began to ask or request for additional containers for their own purposes. The customers then began to make requests for other plastic products, so that eventually Stanley's plastic business surpassed his silver collection business and the United States Plastic Corporation was born. The same year, during one of his many evangelical trips as a guest speaker at a church service in Medellin, Colombia, that's in South America, Stanley had another significant conversation with God that would further change the structure of his company. The conversation, he says, went like this. What are you asking me to do, Lord? Stanley, if you agree the soul is the greatest value in the whole world and is the only investment that you can make in this life that will pay dividends throughout eternity, would you be willing to go back to Ohio and become an employee of mine? An employee, Lord? Isn't that what I am now? We're partners, Stanley. I want you to turn your entire business over to me. Stanley says he was stunned. It was beyond anything he had ever considered, but he managed to pray, "If this is what you want, I will obey." Now, on the way home from South America, Stanley mustered the courage to share this experience with his wife, Juanita. She supported the decision wholeheartedly, and together they signed over 100% of the company's stock to the foundation they had created. Furthermore, they quickly decided that if God was going to own the business, they should give God the room to expand. They made immediate plans to build a plant 4 times larger than the old one, 5 acres under one roof. This new facility was strategically placed at the curve on Interstate 75 in Ohio so that all who drove by could read the letters on the front of the building declaring, "Christ is the answer." And this story, the sign and the story have impacted many people. Even me, as I've seen this building a number of times driving back and forth to seminary in Kentucky. Now, like Abraham, Tam was willingly following and devoting himself to God. In a sense, asking God to bless him and expand his territory. And by God's help, this is exactly what happened. And like Abraham, the territory meant more than just land. God was and still is today wanting to expand his kingdom through all people. With Abraham, it was in creating a people group that would devote their lives to God and to also tell other nations of who this one true God was so that they might worship him too. Stanley had a natural desire to share Christ, as we have seen, through evangelistic crusades at churches around the world. And in expanding his business, his territory, God continued to use Tam's story to expand the kingdom of God. Stanley Tam goes on and tells the story of a day when he received a letter from an attorney from Newcastle, Pennsylvania. The attorney wrote, "Would you send me details on the legal procedure you went through to make God your partner, your senior partner?" He wrote, "I'm interested in this as an attorney." Stanley sent him the information, also including a plan of salvation. Upon reading his letter, the attorney telephoned, "I've got to see you at once. Could I come to your office tomorrow afternoon?" Of course, Stanley told him, even though it was an over 200-mile drive. "You may be just the person," the attorney said, "that I've been looking for. I need spiritual help. I attended law school at the University of Michigan," he continued. "When I graduated, ready for my career to begin, I thought I would have this great sense of satisfaction. But I didn't. In fact, it was quite the contrary. I knew I needed spiritual guidance, so I sought out a clergyman in Ann Arbor and told him my problem. But he, at best, seemed only able to recite a few platitudes. I didn't find the peace that I wanted in my heart. I know I don't give enough money to the church, but I figured if I do it this way the fellow in Lima does it, I might at least begin to find some meaning in life. That's why I wrote to you, but frankly, you confuse me with the Bible verse you stated from Ephesians. How does it go?" he asks. Read it with me. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one could boast." The attorney went on to say, "Could you please explain that to me?" That afternoon in Pennsylvania, the attorney knelt in my office, Tam writes, and received the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Peace at last came to his heart. Often we will see people use this prayer of Jabez, and they will want their territory expanded in the form of wealth and riches and power. Yet the real territory that God wants us to expand is a very spiritual one, which begins with each of us. See, Christ says, "Go and make disciples of not just your family, but of all nations." Beginning with the area they were in, Judah and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, becoming a Christian is not about just receiving eternal life. Even though that is the most important decision each one of us can make, this personal commitment needs to begin in the heart. But then our territory needs to expand. Jesus makes it quite clear that we're only passing through this lifetime for a better place with God, and that our main task now is to not just love God, but to love all other people. And that in loving people, to help them to know the gift of peace that comes through knowledge, that comes not just with the knowledge of Jesus, but that comes with being in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus says there is no other way. Oh Lord, expand my territory. Oh Lord, expand our territory. Will you make that your prayer today? Not only to draw closer to God through Jesus Christ, but to be a blessing to all others by helping people to know God's love and peace through Jesus Christ, to expand your territory. Ask God to expand your territory. And be amazed at what God will do through willing servants. Amen. Let us pray. God, we are grateful that you do work through us when we call on your name, that you do cause us to know you. But not only to know you, but to expand our spiritual territory. Because you live, God, because you live, our territory can expand and exceed ever so much more than we could ever hope or imagine. We believe in you, Lord. We believe that you can work through us, and we ask in Jesus' name that you would do that very thing, that you would cause us to know your deep love for us, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice in Jesus' name. Amen.